Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, Faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys today. It's Sunday. Sundays are football time now. It's training camp. Things are going. I am so pumped about today's show. We're going to be going over the 49ers foundation. Who are these core players that kind of embody, maybe not the all-stars, maybe not the Pro Bowlers, maybe not the all-pro players, but the nuts and bolts, the meat and potatoes of the 49ers roster, continuing our roster countdown series. We're going from number 13 to player 9. Man, we have been doing this. Started at player 91. It's been an absolute journey. We have two more installments after this. So, like, man, we are rocking this 49ers roster countdown. It's an off day for the 49ers. Not a technical off day. It's a walkthrough slash jog through practice for the 49ers, not open to the media. So you're not going to be getting a lot of updates, all those things. Then tomorrow I will be back at training camp for the quote unquote hard day of the week for the 49ers. So I'll be there. We will be bringing a, practice live report. However, I think we're going to continue with the format we did yesterday where I'm out at Santa Clara for practice. I jetty home during the 49ers press conference after practice. Then we go live after that. So I don't think it just doesn't work well with the new 49ers schedule of, going straight to press conference as soon as practice ends. I used to be able to squeeze my report in before they went live, but they've kind of changed the tempo of it. So we will be going live tomorrow, probably an hour after practice actually concludes. I'll be back at the mothership for that. And I just think I can give a better report. I can answer questions better. I think it just stems to better overall production and whatever else. So that's what we're going to be getting to. Do have to say thank you to all of the hashtag CCs, the countdown crew. What's up, Tommy? Appreciate, man. Everybody coming in. Big Tone was in here first with the hashtag CCs. What's up, Purple Martin Hugo? Appreciate you guys as always. If you guys have any questions in the chat, we're going through five players today. So it's kind of a break from our practice report, all those different things. But yeah, look at Doug Savage, take us to church. The wife, she's over there preaching up a sermon. I'm over here writing podcast notes, trying to bring everything to you guys. Appreciate y'all. What's up, Brent? Look at this. Excited for the Rush Road Trip in Dallas this year. Cannot wait. 49ersrushroadtrip.com. Yeah, we're going to be taking over. The 49ers have their official invasion. We're using the same facility. They're there first. We take over right after them. Just trying to, back-to-back incredible events, keep the party rolling. So they start us off. They're the lead hitters. Then we come in, we clean it up. So that's what's going to be over, at Dallas Live. Going to be awesome. Cannot wait. Tommy, John, digging the angle and weird lighting, man, we're moving stuff around here. And so again, we just moved to our spot just 2 days ago. And so, I got the extra screen out. I got some more lighting out. There's still going to be some adjustments. So thank you for being with us and just being patient. We need the patience. There is no doubt about that. Appreciate you guys. What's up, Jax? Appreciate you, man. Reese in the house. Love it. Look at this. Footy fan. Hi, John. Watching from Montreal. What's up, man? Enjoy it from up north. Our neighbors, I love it. The move is stressful and still going. We are in, but we are living out of boxes and suitcases. We got a long ways to go, and it's hard because we're both working full time, and we don't plan days off very well. But we're gonna make it work. Malik, what's up, man? Appreciate you, V. Thank you for the super chat. Injuries and great content from JC. The inevitables, dude. It is rough, and there was I want to take just a quick second because Ryan, I'm sure I'm going to pronounce his name incorrectly. Ryan Paganetti, awesome last name. I'm Chapman. That's boring. He ran the numbers using Aaron Schatz Justice Gross games lost per season rankings, right? And so he went all the way back to 2018. So it's not just a Kyle Shanahan thing, but it has been magnified. And he just calculated how the 49ers fit, which statistics can kind of say whatever it is you want them to say. I can go back to my AP stats days. Like, I get you can manipulate these numbers, but if we just look at it, he went 2008 all the way to 2025. But if we just look at Shanahan's 2017 show up, from 2017, 10th most injured, 2018, 7th most injured out of 32 teams, right, each year. 2019, 6th most injured, 2020, most injured, 2021, 4th most injured, 2022, 9th most injured, 2023, the one anomaly, 4th healthiest team. Man, that's whenever you just skate through the regular season and playoffs and, you know, you go to the Super Bowl, barely lose in overtime. You had one anomaly, 4th most healthy team in the NFL in 2023. 2024, most injured. Last year, 5th most injured. And through training camp, most injured team. Most injured team already. And so he calculated all these. The odds to hit those numbers, 1 in 41.8 million. It is beyond luck. It is beyond, oh, football is a violent sport. It is beyond, oh, sometimes injuries happen. It's beyond all of those things. It is gross negligence with the way in which, now keep in mind, during all of those horrible years, you have decided to promote one person from within that has been here since 2017. And Dustin Perry is now the leader of your health and fitness staff. You got to be kidding me, man. Like, you promoted from within. Now, the Shanahan loyalty program is undefeated. And if Kyle loves you, you ain't going anywhere. You ain't going anywhere. And Dustin Perry is the top of that list. And it's not all on him. Definitely not. I mean, shoot, this is tracked back to 2008. You're talking a span of multiple head coaches. You're talking a span of not just at Levi's. You're going back to Candlestick. You're not just Substation. Not just all those things. But it's insanity. It is insanity that you have promoted from within with those results. That is the opposite of a meritocracy. And I would argue my biggest injuries are going to happen. So I'm not one of those every single time an injury happens, I flip out. No. Soft tissue injuries, hamstrings, calf strains, that is an indictment. A PCL injury that happened in 2020, like last year, September, and you're just now dealing with it, that is an indictment. The re-injuries to so many different players, that is an indictment. Bone bruises, rolling ankles, I would even argue torn ACLs at times, not really a true indictment, but the losing multiple players to hamstring, calf strings, and re-injuries to what they currently had, that is the issue to me. Those are the just, yeah, that's your fault. The 49ers, that is their fault. And I'll stand by that. You got to shake things up so that you don't get the same results. Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results is the definition of insanity. Now, you could argue, let me put my bootlicker costume on. Yeah, the 49ers have changed up their practice habits and routines consistently. They're doing something brand new this year. Easy day, medium day, walkthrough day, hard day, day off. They've never done that before. This is a new implementation. They are adjusting. They used to do 3 days on, 1 day off with the vet day built in there for the All-Stars, right? So they're changing. That didn't work, so now you change it. So they are adapting some things. But the lack of, and shout out to Johnny Dell. He's kind of champion and he's leading this charge. I'll follow Johnny Dell into the depths. Let's go. Oh, captain, my captain. The lack of preventative care and preventative injury care in the offseason is leading to where they are now. It's where it is. It's a bootlicker costume. I'm not a bootlicker. I will criticize the team, and I have no qualms with that. Now, I do and am thankful that Kyle Shanahan is the head coach in charge of this whole ship, but that doesn't mean he lacks criticism. Does not. And now Deshaun Stribling's got hamstring tightness. Now, you're hoping it's just tightness and not a strain to where he's out 2 to 4 weeks. We'll see. Will Deshaun Stribling be out there at practice tomorrow? I probably would not. If it's tight, let him take this day off. You know, I would rest him until the next installment, go out there and see, put him through a mild workout at the next 4 day stretch, not this one. What's up, Phil? Appreciate you, man. Love it, love it, love it. So, yeah, it's a mess. It's a mess. Now, let's get to why we are here today. The amount of work that has been put in to this entire roster countdown series and kind of everything that we're working on. Just have to say thank you to Ben, Josh, Zach. They've helped us. I mean, this is a process. I don't even know. We have 96 pages of notes just on this form. We have more Google Docs where there's other notes and other scribbles and all that stuff. So let's start. We're doing 13 players, 13 to 9 as we count them down. I'm from Texas, and one of the worst things that could ever happen is whenever it's dinner time and you don't have what you need for the dinner for the family. And so I'm a big steak, barbecue, you name it, grill out. That's what I love, and that's why I use Omaha Steaks. So whether it's a rushed weeknight or a Saturday cookout, you can have quality protein on hand when you need it. Ribeyes for special occasion, juicy burgers for a cookout, grilling chicken, seafood, gourmet franks. Omaha Steaks has what you want. Plus, they now have sides, desserts, and more. So a great dinner is minutes away. And the best thing about it is it's steakhouse quality without the steakhouse prices. There's no more last-minute run-its to the store. It arrives vacuum-sealed, frozen, ready to go. And if you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the perfect introduction. For just $79.99, you get 20 premium steak burgers crafted from 5 distinct cuts of steak. You get 4 filet mignon burgers, 4 New York strip burgers, 4 ribeye burgers, 4 brisket burgers, 4 sirloin burgers. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, you get $35 off with the promo code BEEF, B-E-E-F. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Oh, what's up, man? What's up, Sin? Look at this, man. We got all kinds of fun people in the chat. I love it. I love it. I love it. Yeah, what's up, Notorious? Appreciate you, man. Number 13, by far a fan favorite, and I would argue one of, if not the best, most recent draft pick of the 49ers. Like, the criticism is, man, you got no home runs. You got to go to Brock Purdy, and then before Brock Purdy, I would say Hufanga maybe. Like, there's been no home runs. I would I'm cool to say this is a triple, if not a home run draft pick. Number 13 on the roster countdown series, Dominique Pooney. Are you kidding me? Dominique Pooney has been unbelievable going into his third season. Wears jersey number 77, aesthetically pleasing jersey number, by the way. 6'5", 313. He's 26 years old. Last year was number 9 on this list. Now, he has done nothing to lower his ranking. The 49ers just went and added Oso Digizua, a lot of different players that are going to surpass him. A lot of that's just positional importance, right? Dominique plays guard, plays right guard. Left guard's usually more valued. But he came in, his rookie year was number 31, jumped up to number 9, settled on number 13. Last year was a little bit of a rough year for him because he fought through an injury, a PCL injury. The 49ers hoped what happened to Dominique Pooney would also happen to Ricky Pearsall. Did not. And again, if I'm given a nuanced take, if I'm allowed, hey, Dominique Pooney had a PCL. That happened before September. He played through it. It got better. He improved. Why is it weird to think Ricky Pearsall's knee couldn't do the same thing? And there we go. Yeah, we're throwing up the nuance, arguing against our own thoughts, but it's my job to put that information out there. It's your job to decipher what you want to do with it. That's up to you. Now, Dominique Pooney played at Central Missouri, then transferred to Kansas for 2 years to kind of up the competition level, and it worked. A Missouri guy born in St. Charles, went to Francis Howell High School in Coatesville, Missouri, played football, volleyball, ran track. His two brothers, Derek and Devin, played football as well at Central Missouri. His brother, Derek, was an undrafted free agent, drafted by the Cowboys, spent some time in the NFL, never got real playing time. Sister, I mean, just family of athletes, right? Dominic Pooney's sister was a basketball player at Illinois State in Eastern Michigan. His cousin is AJ Epinesa, who's played in the NFL as an edge player for a while. Dominic Pooney didn't allow a sack in high school 2 years. And then 2 years in college, he didn't allow a sack. Polynesian finalist, player of the year in 2023, drafted by the 49ers, has started since day one. He was drafted the 49ers in the third round, 86 overall in the 2024 draft. And here's what's awesome. 49ers traded up for him. I know we complain about a lot of the draft trades that the 49ers do. This was awesome. And you trade up with Philly. A lot of people are like, oh, Howie Roseman, I think, is one of the greatest general managers, drafters in NFL history. Not just today. A history. Literally built two Super Bowl winning rosters that are completely different. Within the span of 10 years, incredible. But the 49ers got the best of them. John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan got the best of Howie Roseman in this trade. They gave up pick 94 and 132 to jump up eight spots to pick 86 overall. Now, the Eagles, they got Jalix Hunt, great player, good player. Sione Vaque never really panned out. He was a hybrid safety slash running back, which is weird. Jalix Hunt's awesome. One of the better players in this round, but he's not Dominic Pooney. Now, other notable picks in that third round. Kalen Bullock went eight picks ahead of Dominic Pooney, Matt Goncalves, Delmar Glaze. Dominic Pooney's up there with all of them, if not better than all of them. Now, the position, right guard, again, you get docked a little bit because right guard is not a premium position in the NFL. It's just not. But it doesn't change the fact that Dominic Pooney has just become a stalwart. He's only been with the 49ers 2 years. He's going into year three. Niners don't pay guards. That's what I'm a little worried about. I hope they extend him and keep him, and that he is a foundational player for the next round. Like, can he carry in and usher in kind of that next wave of players whenever, God forbid, Trent Williams, Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, those guys maybe have retired and moved on. Dominic Pooney might be another guy that could eventually be a 10-year Niner, right? I know we're only in year three. We're jumping ahead a little bit, but like, I want them to build around Dominic Pooney. I think that he could be one of those carryover players. He's such a stud, man. Pooney is currently ranked 13th highest valuable player from that 2024 class. He and Bucky Irving are the only players that weren't drafted in the first or second round that can say that. Niners, I mean, this might not be a home run draft choice. He's not a Pro Bowler yet. He's not an All-Pro player yet. But damn, it's a double at minimum. I think it's closer to a triple. Could eventually be a home run style pick. Dominic Pooney needs to be championed. And he needs to be one of the first names out of my mouth and all Niners fans' mouth whenever they say, like, man, who have the Niners drafted lately that's been good? Dominic Pooney. Yeah, Dominic Pooney. Brock Purdy. Those are your answers. That is what it is. He's going into his third season. He started 34 games, played 34 games, started 34 games. That's incredible. Given up five sacks in 2 years. Not horrible. Started off last season, struggled with the PCL. He was not right. Played way too high, got off balance too much. But as the season progressed and he got better, once you got to about week seven, week eight, week nine, Dominic Pooney of old returned. And can he build off that? He's looked great in training camp. Yesterday, he was awesome. Just turned into a staple pick. And can he pick up where he left off and then build on that? That's what you're hoping for. You know, you look at his stats last year, two sacks allowed, one quarterback hit, 33 hurries. That's probably the negative is Brock Purdy mitigates a lot of those hurries because he can escape very, very well. Matt Jones did not. 67.9 run blocking grade, 66.3 pass blocking grade. Not amazing, not bad. Both of those are above starter replacement level grades. He's not in the Pro Bowl category. He's just not there yet. He's on the fringe of that. And if he takes a step forward, then you're talking Pro Bowl. He takes two big steps forward, then you're talking, man, we might start getting some All-Pro votes, which would be huge. He's made $2.8 million in his career, and he's a starter. There is no competition for him at right guard. He is the guy. He's that guy. So Dominique Pooney comes in number 13. Appreciate everybody. Let's see what comments we got on Pooney. Yeah, right here, Reese. Pooney could be an all-pro this year. I think all-pro is rough because you have to have an established name for the sports writers. The sports writers determine the all-pro. They don't watch guard play. You have to have a recognized reputation heading into the season. It's not necessarily about quality of play. Dominique Pooney could put up an all-pro season, but until he's got a Pro Bowl behind his name, he's not going to be an all-pro. There's flaws in the system, ladies and gentlemen. Who would have guessed? But I don't even think, even if Dominique Pooney played in an all-pro year, I don't believe Dominique Pooney would receive all-pro votes. Maybe one or two, but not enough to be an all-pro. He's got to get that Pro Bowl nod first. Then sports writers across the nation understand who he is, and then he could get that. Ooh, look at this, Gav. The Punisher? The Punisher? But with Pooney in there, I like it. I'm Ron Burgundy. What's up, man? Appreciate you, NH Niners. Appreciate you. Yeah, Malik, your nuance is why I give you my money, John. Appreciate it. I'm not here for narratives. I'm not. It is very easy to stick to it. Maybe I'm guilty of this sometimes. Maybe all humans are. We're like, I stake, you know, this is where I stand on this issue, and I'm going to defend it contrary to opposite information. I don't want to be that guy. I want to be able to change my opinions. It sucks whenever my opinions are validated and they're negative ones. But I appreciate you. And Malik, right here, right side of the line might just be okay with Pooney and McKibbs. I would say better than okay. I think both of those are plus-level starters outside of the Pro Bowl rate. I think McKibbs is closer to Pro Bowl than Pooney is. But McKibbs is multi-year starter. That's where it's going to be. Reese, John, where is Debo going to be on the list? We're talking Debo today. He's on the list today. I will not say where. I will not say where. He will be on the list. That is where, yeah, I promise you, he is there. Oh, look at this. Vicky, what's up? I love it. Happy Sunday, brother. Taking a break from wedding planning to say hello. Vicky, what's up, sis? Shout out to you and Ryan. Congratulations to you guys, by the way. Can't wait for y'all's wedding day. It's going to be an absolute blast. Y'all deserve the world. Two of the greatest people I have come to know. Family members now. I'm going to say honorary. Not Chapmanites. I'd rather be Morgan. her family is off the charts awesome. All right, let's get to number 12. And I'm not going to go into a diatribe again on this player. I know I did last time. My favorite 49er, it's not even close. Dre Greenlaw comes in number 12. Now, he was not on this countdown series last year, but we can go back to 2022. The very first time we did this, he was 16. 2023, he was 14. 2023, he was 14. 2024, he was 2021. He was 21. Gosh, I'm getting ahead of myself. This year, he comes up 12. We saw the difference it makes when Dre Greenlaw is not on this defense. When there wasn't 54 and no 57 out there, it wasn't anything reminiscent of the 49ers defense. Dre Greenlaw matters. He changes everything. The law. Where's jersey number 57? 6 foot, 230. He's 29 years old. He's still got more. That's the thing that people kind of forget is that Dre Greenlaw, you know, they got drafted, you know, back whenever guys would come out and they were 21, they were 22. They were those things. Because, man, Dre Greenlaw and Fred Warner are 29 years old. Like, they get lumped in with Kittle. Kittle's 3 years older than both of them. These guys could play longer. Now, Dre's had a lot more injuries than Fred Warner has, but, oh, dude, I'm telling you right now, Dre Greenlaw's got a lot of football left in him if he wants it, if he wants it. He's had such a great career, and he's amassed generational wealth. Let's see here. I got $32 million for his career. Way to go, 5'7". And he's taken friendly team deals. He didn't last year, but he did the extension way before when he extended in season. Oh, look at this. Vicky, I appreciate the super chat. Dre will always be your favorite. His level of passion elevates everyone around. And it's the story, man. Like, dude, I'm a foster parent. You know what I mean? Like, I'm an adoptive parent. This is a foster kid that broke the cycle. That is what my life is about. Like, I don't share a lot of my family history. It's rough. It is not pleasant. I mean, shoot, every single brother and sister I have, except for one, there's nine of us, overdosed or in prison. Me and one other one got out. So 2 out of 9, not good. Breaking the cycle was everything. You know, that's just all I wanted to do. Like, I didn't want, you know, my own kids. We weren't able to, the wife and I, sadly. And man, we decided, hey, let's give kids home that don't have a home. And that's exactly what Dre Greenlaw needed and got and broke the cycle and changed things. And now he's like one of the greatest humans off the field. But you put him on the field, he's going to mess you up. His real name is Keandre Jaquan Dre Greenlaw. Freaking badass name. Played at Arkansas. And when he was 8 years old, he grew up in group homes, shelters, bounced around foster care, all those things whenever he was 14. So, man, think about it. From 8 to 14, some of the most formidable years of your life. This dude's living in group homes. At 14, he met Brian Early. Shout out to the Early family. Defensive coach at Fayetteville High School. And the Early family just invited Greenlaw to live with them and then eventually adopted him after he turned 18 to make him part of the family. Like, how beautiful is that, man? And like, dude, I think that's like, I was a terrible football player. Dude, I was awful. I was a captain and started and whatever, but for like a terrible 3A school in Texas that never won more than 4 games. But like, dude, this guy, this is why I got into coaching. The coaches in my life, if I had to like rank like 5 of probably 7 of the top 10 humans that helped me kind of get out and break the cycle myself, it was football coaches. And so, like, I remember we were in grad school. I was going to school to be a college professor studying economics, which I enjoyed that. And the wife just had a simple question, like, man, if you could do anything, forget about money, what would you do? And I was just like, dude, I would coach high school football. Are you kidding me? It was like the easiest question and answer. And Jim was like, well, then that's what you're going to do. And that's what I did for 16 years. And I loved every single moment of it. It was awesome because I wanted to return what had been given. And it's funny because like whenever I get to know people and they learn a little bit about my family history and stuff, they're like, man, what made you different? And I always say the same thing. It's two answers. Football and girls. That was it. Like those were my two things I cared about. Like football and girls. That was it. That got me through high school, college to where I didn't want to get in trouble because that would mess up my football play, right? And shoot, I needed money and a car and be able to go around so that I could spend time chasing girls. So it was work and football. That's all I did. And that got me out of trouble. Thankfully, I didn't have any Chapmans running around. Got lucky there. Dude, you learn about this story of Dre Greenlaw and the Early family, and it's just inspiring. It's incredible. I say I'm not going to do a diatribe on freaking Dre Greenlaw. And of course, I can't help it. I can't help it. So back to Dre Greenlaw. He was a cornerback in high school, and he was a cornerback in college. You wonder why his coverage is so good as a linebacker. Led his team to back-to-back 7A state champions at Fayetteville High School in Arkansas. Then he moves to strong safety, did track and field, all these different things, was a team captain, goes signs with Arkansas as a freshman All-American in the SEC. SEC Defensive Freshman of the Year. Dude showed up, balled out in the SEC from day one, just like he did in the NFL whenever he got to the NFL. SEC All-Freshman Team, you name it. He won all kinds of awards in 2019 with the Niners. He was the recipient of the 49ers Thomas Herrien Memorial Award. This is an award voted on by the coaches. He's everybody loves him. You've heard Kyle Shanahan say he's my favorite player. He is Mike Tyson with the 49ers uniform. Dre, like, oh, just the violence. He's drafted 2019, the best 49ers draft, you could argue maybe ever. Kyle Shanahan for sure, Bosa, Debo, Greenlaw, Kevin Givens, who's now your starting defensive end, joking, kind of. They draft him in the fifth round, another fifth round gem, number 148 overall. One of my favorite 49ers trades ever. At the back end of 2018, right before, at the end of training camp, they're about to do the roster trim down from 91 to 53. It might have been one of those years where it was staged where you're going like 65 to 53 or whatever. But they trade Dakota Watson, who was a fringe player, to the Broncos. Dakota Watson in a sixth rounder, and they got a fifth in return. My favorite style trades. I hope the Niners get back to doing that. And I think they have the roster to do that with these guys. It's like, man, we got to keep one of these two guys, package them to a lesser team. Dakota Watson in the sixth to the Broncos. You get back a fifth, you get Dre Greenlaw. Oh, my gosh. Two players stand out in that fifth round, Dre Greenlaw and Andrew Van Ginkle. Those are the two studs of that 2019-15 class. You could argue which one's a bigger impact, but Dre Greenlaw is definitely there. Eighth season, seventh as a Niner, played last year for the Broncos. He's just played so much. 498 tackles, 20 TFLs, four interceptions. One of the best plays in Niners history, that stop on the one-inch line with Seattle. Oh, just love him. Fan favorite. Just incredible. Now, last year sucked. Last year sucked with the Broncos. The Achilles injury that happened at the Super Bowl took him a year and a half to get over it. And this is why I'm so concerned about George Kittle. And man, Richard Sherman was the same way. These Achilles injuries for these older players, it lingers. Dre Greenlaw was 28, 27 when it happened. It took him a year and a half. Now, the Kittle injury, Achilles a little bit higher up on the leg, so that's optimism. They're getting better at Achilles injuries, whatever. But anyway, these are the contextual issues that whenever I talk about George Kittle being ready week one, I'm just like, dude, I don't see it. It took Dre Greenlaw a year and a half. A year and a half. Now, the good news, Dre Greenlaw was a beast last year for the Broncos in the playoff games. Those two playoff games, the overtime win against the Buffalo Bills, and then the narrow loss with no quarterback against the Patriots, Dre Greenlaw was a big reason why they had a chance to win both those games. And so you've already seen 57 back at his level before the Niners signed him. That's why I love it. I saw it yesterday. Very first play a team goes in there, gets a tackle for loss, Dre Greenlaw, like against the ones. 1v1s, goes out there, just shows what's up. Like, he's that guy. He is that guy. And so now he's back. Now, the negative, injuries. He's had a lot of injuries, numerous. Now, most of them are short-term injuries. Before that, Achilles. He's had a lot. And you look at, again, you just go through kind of the seasons for Dre Greenlaw since he's been in the NFL. Okay, his rookie year, he played 16 games. Awesome. And that was way back when there were just 16 games. Second year, he played 13 games. 2021, played 15 games in 2022. 15 games in 2023, so missed two games each. Only played two games in 2024. Only played eight games in 2025. Major issues. You have had four seasons where he's played a majority of the games, and you've had three seasons where he barely showed up at all. What Dre Greenlaw are you getting? You don't know. But then you look at the contract, a one-year, $6 million deal? That's it? You're getting what you pay for. If Dre Greenlaw plays eight games, you got your money's worth. If he plays less than that, all right, then the complaints can come in. But whenever you're getting players off of a down year, you get the value. You get the value. This was a guy that was making close to $15 million a year last year for the Broncos. They did not get the value. Now you're getting him at half off. 1 year, $6 million deal. That's what it is. And so I love Dre Greenlaw. I freaking love him, man. I love him. Right here, James, would you take the over or under 10 games played this year for Greenlaw? I want to say over, but I would probably set it at 9.5, right, betting. But, yeah, he's definitely – that is the question. Yeah, right here, NH Niners. Greenlaw, him and Warner, OG Smash Bros. Martin is little Smash Bros. Martin's going to be playing, dude. Phil, appreciate the super chat, man. Thank you so much. Hope you're planning a Dre Greenlaw special, dude. I literally could do episodes just talking 5'7". Yeah. I love it, man. I just love it. Judge Dre, anybody? I like it. Yeah, Judge Dredd. I get it. I am the law. I got it. I got it. Rob Schneider. Good reference. Solid. Everybody knows that about you, bro. References are crazy. Malik, Dre tearing his Achilles while jumping on the sidelines of the Super Bowl is the most heartbreaking thing I've experienced as a 49ers fan. I was wearing a Dre Greenlaw jersey that day. Yeah, Judge Dre. I like it. I do like that. Hey, Matthew, man, appreciate you sharing. Coming from someone who grew up in the foster system and now 40, thank you, Chapman. Dude, thank you, Matthew, for sharing and just being honest, man. Kids need homes. It's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Barely made it through it, but we're kids need homes. It's that simple. It is that simple. That's it, man. Go help people. Right here, Kevin. Great insight on Greenlaw. Gotta love the man he became. Also, congrats to you and JC. Thanks, man. Appreciate that. Yeah, Dre brings the boom. He's, you could argue, the hardest hitter in the NFL. Him and Aziz, who you had on the same. Oh, out there killing people, dude. Kid bro, Greenlaw is like a true blindside story, not the fake one that comes in TV all the time. Yep. Gotta love that, man. Gotta love that. All right, Tommy, let's spend some time. Talk about the loss of Parag. By far one of the mainstays. I mean, shoot, he's been here longer than Jed York's been in charge of the team. Parag's been here forever. Now, some people hold Parag responsible with all the deadline deals and playing tight and, you know, allowing these holdouts to extend into training camp and even the regular season. Trent Williams, Nick Bosa, freaking Ayuk, obviously, Debo. I mean, you can go on and on and on. Kittle, all those different things. Now, you could argue they got out of that while Parag was here. They're not doing that crap anymore, and thank God. And now they're even putting clauses in people like Trent Williams' contract, who always holds out. Look, if you don't hold out, you get paid more money. So no holdout clause in the future part of contracts. So I'm cool with it. I am not one of those that thinks the sky is falling and this is a huge negative. I do not. I like who they have stepping in. I'm going to mess up his name. Desi Unsa. I always mess up his name. I don't even know how to spell it. But, you know, come out. He was with the 49ers for a long time, went to the Vikings, then came back. Sorry, I don't have it in my notes. Stefan, thanks for the super chat. What would be your most satisfying win on our schedule? For me, it's either the Cowboys, Sea Chickens, or Chiefs. You got to start in the division. That Rams game in Australia, start the year off right. Everybody's already championed the Rams Super Bowl winners. Go beat them. They're terrified because they don't want you playing in Los Angeles because they don't have fans. And so the Niners take over all the time, so they have to go all the way around the world, and the NFL grants it to them. That Rams game, obviously the Cowboys in Dallas, that's my origin story. For those of you that don't know, stepdad I didn't like. He was a diehard Cowboys fan, so I asked him what team he hated the most. He said Niners. I asked for a Jerry Rice jersey for Christmas, or for my birthday. That was what it was. So Rams, Seahawks, Cowboys, those are the three. Those are the three. Yeah, but any win is a good win. Wins are hard to come by, man. You watch, like, again, you go watch Quarterback on Netflix, and it follows Cam Ward, and just how hard it is to get a damn win in the NFL. Like, it's just like, what do you got to do to get a damn win? Any win is a good win. And that's why, looking back last year with the 49ers and all those damn injuries, getting all those wins last year was insanity. Winning on the road in the playoffs against defending Super Bowls, insanity with that roster. And that's why I still support Kyle Shanahan. No business winning 13 games. You had no business. You had no business doing any of the stuff that they did last year. Oh, won 12 games, but 13 with the playoffs, right? You had no business, man. No business doing any of that stuff. Now, things we do have business in, Australia, 49ers rush road games. You go into any 49ers road game, you got to come party with us, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get an autograph. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
All right, I have to correct Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, badass name, and I apologize to the entire family. I did not try to butcher that. Usually whenever I get a hard name and I know it's going to be talked about, I have it in my notes. I didn't have it, and so sorry about that. Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, that's the one, the guy that's going to be stepping in for Parag in that role. He was the general manager for the Vikings for four seasons. Like, he was with the 49ers before that. He's got the experience. We'll see. Was he a great general manager of the Vikings? No, he wasn't. But he was the GM whenever they picked Justin Jefferson. So, like, there's some positives there. And he has the experience and contract stuff and all that. So, I'm a believer in the dude. Do I want him as the general manager? Probably not. But there we go. So, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah. I'm going to try it. all right, there we go. Right here, Notorious. I've never even heard of Mensah before yesterday. He's been with the Vikings for the past four seasons as their general manager. He was the number two to John Lynch early on. And I actually, let me see here. I'm going to do this. Kwesi Adofo-Mensah. I want to look up his Wikipedia page because his resume is better than that by far. Yeah, so here we go. Before that, he was the vice president of football operations for the Browns for two seasons. He was the director of football research and development for the Niners for three seasons when Kyle Shanahan and them first came in. And he was the manager of football research and development even before that, since 2013 for the Niners. So he's got a pretty badass resume. He's done some things. Went to Princeton. Oh, look at this. Yeah, got an economics degree from Princeton. Yeah, I think he can do contracts, football contracts. Maybe. He's got a master's in economics from Stanford. Yeah, I think he's educated. I think he's smart enough to do that job. that's just me. Anyway, now let's get to number 11. Good player, voted team captain last year. I don't think he lived up to it, but damn good, solid, consistent. Again, foundational member of this team moving forward. Demo. It was funny. Yesterday, there was a question asked to Raheem Morris. Tell us about D'Amador Lenore. And he's like, who? He's like, I just haven't heard his real name before. Demo is what everybody calls him. D'Amador is a interesting name, to say the least. He's been all over on this countdown. 2022, he was number 41. Then he jumped up to 17 whenever he won the slot corner role. Jumped up to number 9 in 2024. Last year was number 7. Falls to number 11. I think you have Pro Bowl level play from Demo. He's definitely in that. He has no Pro Bowls or anything yet, but he is a Pro Bowl level player currently. There are some flaws in the game, in the run game. That is there. And the leadership standpoint didn't come across at all last year. I do not consider him a leader. I don't think the team does. I'll be shocked if he is voted captain again. But last year with all the guys leaving and not replacing any of it, you wanted some guys to step up. Demo, yeah, I think that he's a damn good player. And I wouldn't have a problem if you had D'Amador Lenore rated 10th, 9th, 8th, 7th on this list. Most impactful 49ers for the year. Like, he is the starting number one corner. Wears jersey number 2 after he changed it from 38. 5'10", 200 pounds, 25 years old. Demo's young. Demo can play for a long time. I have no qualms with him becoming a 10-year Niner as the number one corner. Played at Oregon, born and raised in Los Angeles, comes from a very large family. He's 9th out of 12 kids. Good gosh. That's a lot of kiddos. Went to Salesian High School, where he played quarterback, wide receiver, corner, running back, did all those things. His family stressed academics his entire life, finished with a 3.5 GPA, 3-star recruit, chose Oregon. It was a staple in that secondary. Just damn good player. Drafted by the 49ers in 2021 and just continued to get better. First year was really, really quiet till he started. Then once he had a 4-year under his belt as a starter, he just started talking trash all the time on social media, which is kind of fun. I like that from a cornerback. The Niners drafted him 2021 fifth round, 173 overall. They traded Quan Alexander for this pick. We're talking two top 15 players, elite trades. Quan Alexander, that contract was abysmal. I don't know how they got rid of it. Traded him to the Saints, never lived up to the trade. They got a fifth round pick in exchange. I thought that was crazy. That Quan Alexander contract was gross. Was gross, especially with his injury history and all that stuff. It was just terrible. I love Quan Alexander, but that contract was just like, oh man, this is going to be bad. I don't know how they unloaded that. Still don't to this day. And to turn that into D'Amendola Lenore, who's starting and going to start for so many freaking years. D'Amendola Lenore is also the second best pick in that fifth round. You know who the first best fifth rounder was? Talanoa Funga. Niners dominated the fifth round. This entire today's episode is sponsored by the fifth round draft choices. I love it. He's going into his sixth season, and he's only 25. 79 games. He started 64 of those. 14 tackle for losses, 1 sack, 31 pass breakups, 8 interceptions. Ball skills are there. Team captain last year, I doubt he'll be it this year. Horrible at tackling, which is a new thing. And I don't know if he's making business decisions. I don't know what's going on, but 61 tackles last year. Did block a field goal. That's huge. 4 tackle for losses, 5 pass breakups, 2 interceptions, 44 run defense grade, 46 tackling grade, 65.7 coverage grade. Does grab way too much, gets flagged way too much. Penalties are an issue. Run game's an issue. Damn good corner, though. And you say, like, well, nobody scored touchdowns on him. A lot of those penalties and missed tackles resulted in touchdowns. A lot of them. He signed a 5-year, $88.8 million contract. It was a bargain when they signed it. It's even more of a bargain now. Man, I did not pull this up. Let's see if I can find this live on air. I'm going to cornerbacks, and I'm looking at the average salary per year for corners. D'Amendola Lenore is getting $17 million and some change per year. I'm going to count this out loud because it's not numbered. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. He's already the 18th highest paid average per year salary corner. That is a steal of a steal of a steal. Like, I love it when the Niners player get these deals done early for guys that don't have generational wealth. Hey, we'll give you generational wealth now. We believe in you, but you're not getting top of the market money, but we'll give it to you now. He's made $26.4 million in his career, but he's already so buried on the amount per year, and he's got years and years left. D'Amendola Lenore, he is signed through 2029. He'll be 30 years old. There's no way this contract's going to hold up. They're going to have to probably give him some more money. But, man, yeah, right here. Demo is definitely a 10-year Niner. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love Demo. I really, really do. We had the issue where he didn't show up last year to our event after all that stuff. But, like, damn good player. I had no ill will against him. Damn good player. He's easily getting top 10 cornerback, but you're not paying top 10 money. So I think that's huge. I really, really do. And so, yeah, shout out to Demo, man. He's freaking awesome. He is awesome. Right here, Notorious. Demo got to make sure the boombox walks out, lives past Trent. I got to love, a lot of love for the Hyena. Yes. Damn good player. Damn good player, man. I always remember Demo trash talking on DK Metcalf. Yeah, that was an epic video. Whatever he did, like a Instagram live or a reel when DK got traded, and just like, yeah, it was great. I love it. Right here, Stefan, have you ever seen a Rams fan in the wild? I have not. I lived in Los Angeles for 6 years. Didn't happen. They don't exist. They do not exist. Not in SoFi, you don't. There are Rams fans in SoFi. I mean, I've had a beer poured on my head at SoFi. It was probably one of the few times. Like, I've been to a lot of games, and I'm going to stand up and cheer for my team. I don't talk a lot of trash, but I don't back down either. And I remember this game vividly. It's when the Niners won and the Ambry Thomas interception in SoFi. And as soon as the game's over, I just fear the guy behind me just dumped his beer out all over my head. And I was pretty hot. Probably I turned around ready to go. And like, I'm not that guy. I'm a diffuser. Like, I boxed. I did MMA. I can handle myself all right. But like, I usually just want to diffuse the situation always. I turned around ready to go. I was ready. I was ready to make bad choices. And I turn around, this guy's got a 5-year-old kid with him. And it's just like, I'm not going to fight you next to your child. And I was just like, dude, what? Your son's right there. Why would you do this in front of your own child? Like, your kid's going to remember this. Like, why would you do that? And like, instantaneously, I turned around like, all right, I'm getting arrested. And then immediately just like, dude, you're a terrible parent. Like, I can't fight you in front of your son. Like, what is that? Anyway, yeah. SoFi, the funniest thing is whenever you go to SoFi and you stand next to the speakers and you just hear crowd noise. Like, it is comical. It is comical. Like, it is undeniable that they pipe in all that noise. There are no fans there. There's a few Rams fans. They're there. But they don't let them out in the wild. They have to collect the jerseys that they give them as they walk into the stadium, SoFi, and then they collect them afterwards so they can wash them and then hand them out to people again at the end. It's just what it is, man. Right here, Monkey, yeah. I've seen more St. Louis Ram fans than L.A. Ram fans the past 5 years. It's true. Kimbrough, if dumps a beer on you, he signed the contract to get punts. I was ready, man, until I saw the kiddo. I was like, I can't do that. Eagles fans are the worst. Yeah, yeah. Eagles fans are the worst. I will attest to that. I will attest to that. That is factual. Man, we got two more players. Golly, this is going to be a long show. Hope y'all ain't mad. Now, we'll say this as we're getting ready for the new season. So pumped. If you want to sponsor the show, 49ers Rush, man, reach out to us. We are still in need of two sponsors for the season. Just email us 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. We have customizable package as affordable as you want it to be, to up as expensive and as much as you want us to put that out. That is there. That is how we support. That's how we pay the bills, all those different things. So email us. We will put your product out, your business out in front of thousands of people live, audio, YouTube, Twitch, you name it. TikTok, we do it all. So reach out to us, 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. Help the show out. Help us grow. We would appreciate it. Let's get to number 10 and probably the weirdest one. Number 10 was Ricky Pearsall. This list was done right after the draft concluded, after free agency concluded. We ranked most impactful players for the 2026 season. Obviously, Ricky Pearsall is done. And to lose a top 10 player, that's huge. And so we're just going to slide Debo into that place, just like the 49ers did. I thought it was wild. The news goes out, Ricky Pearsall's season's over, and within 26 seconds, the 49ers official Twitter, Instagram, everywhere, congratulations, we have signed Debo. Welcome back, Debo. 26 seconds. It's crazy. Now, should Debo be top 10 on this list? No, he should not. There are fallacies in the process. There are flaws, right? It's just what it is. And so instead of reorganizing whatever else, Debo should probably come in around 17 to 22, somewhere around there. I do not expect Debo to be the leading wide receiver for the 49ers or any of those things. But for our exercise, we're sliding Debo into the Ricky Pearsall slot, just like the 49ers did, which is ironic because Pearsall was brought in to allow Debo to leave the Z wide receiver role. Now Debo's back. There we go. My. Look how the turntables. Debo comes in off the plane, leads the team in targets the very first day of practice. That's bananas to me. Now, Stribling was out. Mike Evans wasn't taking, you know, all of the snaps that he usually does. Yeah, it's what it is. Debo's 30 years old. He's got one Pro Bowl, one All-Pro. And you could argue, I don't think it's arguable. 2021, I would say, is the second best wide receiver career ever in 49ers history. Now, I know you say that, and it sounds blasphemous. I get that. Dude had 1,770 total yards and 14 touchdowns. Jerry Rice beat that one time in his career. Terrell Owens never did that. Now, he had 14 touchdowns, I think, three or four times in his career with the Niners. Never had that many yards. You could say, well, there's an extra game, whatever else. That 2021 Debo year was bananas, man. Like, MVP level play, what Debo did from the running back spot, the wide receiver spot, the playoff run, that Cowboys game. Oh, maybe one of my favorite games I've ever been to. Just Debo says, give me the damn ball. One play touchdown drive from just a toss play. Bananas what Debo has done. 1,770 total yards, 14 touchdowns. Whew. He was drafted number 36 overall, second round in 2019. And you go back, that draft class was loaded, man. Maybe the 49ers, again, Dre Greenlaw, Bosa, Debo, Kevin Givens, like that draft class just bonkers, man. But the entire draft was badass. Like even the players the 49ers didn't get. Great draft class. Now, you go back and you rank it by Pro Football Reference's approximated value. Debo's the 12th best player of that draft. You drafted him 36. Now, it is funny. Kyle Shanahan had N'Keal Harry as his number one running back or wide receiver. That's who he wanted, but the Patriots took him right before. And so Kyle Shanahan had to take Debo. He wanted N'Keal Harry. Now, last year at Washington, and again, I am not as high on Debo Samuel as a lot of people for three reasons. Two of those reasons is he's requested trades off this team not once, but twice. That pisses me off. Same reason why I don't consider T.O., who I think is probably the second best wide receiver ever, arguably third or fourth. You can't put him below fourth. But, like, I don't consider him one of the great Niners because he forced himself off the team. Like, that's just me. I'm a 49ers fan before I am anything else. I'm not an insider. I'm not a journalist. I am a 49ers fan. I am biased. I am biased to the red and gold before all else. Like, that's what I am. And, like, it's funny. I get things like, how could you be this? You can't do this if you're a fan. I can do whatever I want. It's my show. It's my channel. I'm not owned by anybody. I have not signed with anybody, and I never will because I'm going to do what I want to do. And I have no journalistic integrity. I have no insider information. I don't ever want it. I don't need it. I don't want credentials. I don't want it. I just want to do what I want to do. I want to talk football with you as a 49ers fan. And so, yeah, Debo requested out. They asked him about it. Dude, you've requested off this team, traded off this team twice. And Debo goes, yeah, that wasn't me. That was just contract negotiations. I didn't have anything to do with that. I say bullshit to that. Big time. I saw those damn videos you put out, and that, like, I can't stand that stuff. But he's back and he loves it here. And he says it's like family and whatever else. And I get all of those things. I'm thankful for Debo. He will never be amongst my 49er greats ever. You can't do that. I'm sorry. And I know I'm in a minority. And I love the way Debo plays. And I just talked about it as the second best wide receiver career, the most wide receiver rich franchise in NFL history. You're not 49ers royalty. I'm thankful. And I hope that he has a great year. And you look at, okay, what are the expectations? Let's transition it that way. Last year at Washington wasn't great, but it wasn't bad either. 72 receptions on 99 targets. 727 yards, five touchdowns. He had 5 drops, 1 fumble, 17 missed tackles forced as a wide receiver, 32 first downs. That's pretty good. 97.5 NFL passer rating when targeted. Pretty good. Solid. That's not number one wide receiver. That's not number two wide receiver. That's a number three hybrid piece, which is what I want him to be with the Niners. I don't want Debo to start. I think that he probably will because Kyle can't help it. And shoot, not even Kyle. Kubiak can't help it. Kyle wasn't even calling plays yesterday. Kubiak, freaking Debo, load him up. Now, also running the ball, this is where I want Debo to be used more for the Niners. I want him running the ball. He had 17 rush attempts for 75 yards last year for Washington, 1 touchdown, 4 missed tackles forced, 2 10-plus yard runs, 15 kickoff returns. This is what I want Debo doing as well. Averaged 30.1 yards per return, meh, but did have 2 explosives. Had a 69-yard kickoff return and a 50-yard kickoff return. That is what I want. Did not have 1 single 100-yard receiving game last year. What do I expect from him this year? 700 yards, 7 touchdowns. That's what I expect from Debo. I'd be happy with that. Now, how do those yards come about? I don't know. I want him to get running back carries. I want him to be a Z wide receiver gadget guy. I don't want him starting. I don't want Debo getting 30 snaps a game offensively. I don't. I really don't. If everybody's healthy, I want Debo getting 20 to 25 snaps a game offensively. I want him to be the kickoff and punt returner. I do want those explosions there. And I want him to be a gadget guy that goes in and is a third down running back. I want him to be a Z wide receiver that gets jet sweeps and screens and in breakers. You're playing a heavy man team. I want Debo to get 10 snaps tops. He has major issues. I don't want Debo starting over Deshaun Stribling. Now, if Deshaun Stribling wins the slot role, which I think is what they want him to do, and Debo is the Z wide receiver, I get that. Keep somebody like a Jacob Cowing, who can play Z role as well, that can beat man coverage. Debo sucks against man coverage. It is the biggest flaw. So I said there's 3 reasons why I don't like Debo. 1, trade request. 2, trade request. 3, man coverage. Those are my issues with Debo. He is a flawed player. Now, Kyle Shanahan can cover up a lot of those flaws, but don't force feed. Don't do that. I think you lost the Super Bowl because of it. I really do. Like, dude, you're playing against one of the best man cover teams, best man cover coordinators in Spagnuolo. Trent McDuffie just shut this dude down, and he still got like 11-plus targets. That was dumb as hell. Here we go, Maria. Never mad about a long show. Thank you. Back-to-back long shows. I took one day off, and I'm just like, dude, I have to talk more. Yeah, Debo at 10 again. This is a flaw in the system, but whatever. Yeah, just slide Debo in. I love it. Yeah, Maria, I've moved from anger to sadness. We're going through the 5 stages of grief. And I'm not trying to make light of it, but man, I think about Ricky in that, to what he's going through. Knowing he ain't going to play football at all this year, that hurts, man. And I love Dre Greenlaw talking about what he told Ricky and just, man, just keep your head up, get healthy. Religion, you know, Ricky, that's a big deal for him. Yeah, his career is completely altered. Might even end here. I doubt it. I think he'll be all right. He's still young. Yeah, Debo's stoked to be here. I'm sure they're working on some 21 personnel plays. I hope so. Yeah, I want Debo and Christian McCaffrey out there together as backs. I'm out on Ayuk. I do not want him back. Maria, Debo looks good, energized. Yeah, he showed up, man. And that's what you want from Debo. Bring energy, positive, not negative. Not negative, not negative. Looks like he's in shape. He did. He looked apart. Hopefully he stays healthy. Debo looking like he's ready to snatch chains again. Yeah, I love it. And a fired up Debo usually does well. Like that 2021 year was a contract year. Debo just spent all of free agency sitting there staring at his phone. Nobody called. All the draft, nobody called. After the draft, nobody called. Nobody wanted him. Debo's pissed. He has all the reason in the world to go out there and prove something. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. All right, last one today. Number 9. We spent a lot of the offseason talking about him. Also, Odighizuwa. He would be one of my votes for team captain. Love his 2 interviews that he's had. The 49ers traded a third round pick for him. Where's jersey number 92? 62294. He's 27. You got him on a cheap ass contract because the Cowboys footed the bill, the signing bonus. 27, turns 28 in August, played at UCLA, born in Dayton, Ohio. Went to David Douglas High School in Portland, Oregon. Was a stud athlete in high school. Two-time defensive player of the year. Also lettered in wrestling. If your kid is going to play offense or defensive line or tight end, put them in wrestling. If you are serious about their football future, you think you want them to earn a college scholarship and NIL money, put them in wrestling. Trust me. Learn leverage. Learn how to control your body. Learn balance. Put them in wrestling. If you are serious about your kid's football career and there's any chance of O-line, D-line, tight end, put them in wrestling. Gosh, man. Come on, guys. He went undefeated 2 years in a row. Went 45-0 as a wrestler his junior year, 46-0 as a senior. That's badass. This dude's about it. No Limit Studios. He's tough as hell, man. Three-star recruit. Went to UCLA. Started from his sophomore year on, productive college career, led to a third-round pick of the Cowboys, but then they traded Micah Parsons, got back Kenny Clark, then they traded for Quentin Williams. Both those guys are better than Osa Odighizuwa. But he's a top 15 defensive tackle any way you slice it. There's no doubt about it. He's a Pro Bowl caliber player that could he become an All-Pro? The answer is yeah, he could. He didn't even have a Pro Bowl year yet. But you look at him. He led the NFL in quarterback hits last year. Like 81 quarterback hits in his career. He was drafted in the third round of 2021, 75th overall. Same round as Ambry Thomas and Trey Sermon. Doesn't that just hurt to hear? Same round, a lot of quality players. I wouldn't say Osa's the best, but he's with them. That third round, Ernest Jones, Nico Collins, Spencer Brown, Quinn Meinertz, Osa. Those are the five best players in that round. So damn good, man. Going into his sixth season, 76 starts, 34 tackle for losses, 81 quarterback hits in his career, 17 sacks. And that was the thing. He was asked about this yesterday. What are you working on? Converting quarterback hits into sacks. He gets those sacks, Pro Bowl, all pros there. I would not consider him an all pro player. I think he's outside the fringe of that, but he's a consistent player. Was drafted as just a pass rush guy. Has brought on and become a consistent run game defender. That's one of the things that shocked me most after the trade, and I went through the tape, and the tape is up, the49ersrush.com and our Patreon channel. Links in the description of this video. I'm watching this tape. I'm like, dude, this guy's good against the run. He's not like an A-plus run defender, but he's a plus run defender. Fun player. Huge wingspan. He's a big dude. He shows up. I want him to be team captain. He's made $29.1 million. It is career. Now, let's see here. Come on, man. SpoTrack is just such a... I love the site, but it just freezes all the time. Let's see if this pulls up. All right, let's look at his contract because I think that this is kind of huge. He has a $5 million cap hit this year. $5 million. Like, the Cowboys kept a lot of that cap hit. Next year, $23 million. 2028, $23 million. You are getting unbelievable financial structure on this Osa deal. Even if he doesn't work out, which, man, in training camp, he looks the part, you're getting pennies on the dollar. You gave up a third-round pick, which hurts, but this was one of the worst defensive tackle classes that I can remember. Probably would have taken Grayson Halton with that pick if you would have kept it. Instead, you got Grayson Halton a couple picks later and Osa. I'm telling you, man, Osa is a player. Now you got everybody hurt. You know, Alfred Collins is back at practice. He ain't taking 10 reps. Grayson Halton's hurt. CJ West hurt. Ugh. Yeah, undrafted free agents starting at defensive tackle. Yeah, Kevin Givens, who you signed up off the street, started at defensive end. The injuries are atrocious. Got to fix something, man. Man, this has been fun. We have two more installments we'll do on days off throughout training camp. So the next 2 days off, that way we're not taking place. Monday I'll be at training camp. So tomorrow we'll be going live probably about the same time. That's the amount of time it takes me to get back here. Tomorrow's going to be a longer process. But yeah, we'll have a live camp report tomorrow, which I'm super pumped about. I want to make sure I'm not missing anything on the chat. You guys freaking fire. Yeah, right here. Notorious. Was Osa a captain last year? Wouldn't be mad if he was. He was. Osa was one of the leaders in the locker room. And, you know, they had the passing of Marshawn Nyland, the player who died on their team. And Osa kind of led a whole lot of that stuff from what the beat writers were saying. And just, he just seems like an awesome guy. Made of the right stuff. I agree completely. I'm really excited to add a character guy at a position that you just didn't have. They tried signing John Franklin Myers, got outbid, traded for Osa, got a huge, I'd prefer trading the third round pick for Osa than signing John Franklin Myers. I like this way more. Oh, what's up, Big Red? 18 days till high school football. That is awesome. Yeah, all my coaching friends and all of our text message threads have dried up. Two-a-days, all that stuff's going on. I got to say bye to my friends for a while. Yeah, I get it. It's a beautiful time. And I remember this time whenever I was coaching, and I miss practice. I miss coaching more than I miss the games. I know everybody loves the games. I miss developing players and those relationships at practice and seeing the light turn on. You guys are the best. Oh, we got a super chat here. Good seeing all the faithful. Kimbrough, thank you so much, man. I cannot say thank you enough just for your generosity and friendship. We got to get together and get a beer soon, man. I'll reach out to you. But that's going to do it for us today. Until next time. Stay strong, faithful.